At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome in to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, the official podcast of your New Orleans Pelicans, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad. Hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and those who cover the NBA on a daily basis. It's time to flock up. The New Orleans Pelicans Podcast starts right now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of your New Orleans Pelicans podcast, the official podcast of the New Orleans Pelicans. Gus Kattengill, Jim Eichenhofer with you. Coming up next segment, the voice of the Pels, Todd Graffinini. He helps preview a very big, they're all big, Jim Eichenhofer. From here on out, just seven games remaining. Last night, I was watching, you were watching, everyone's scoreboard watching. Did the Pelicans get any help at all yesterday?
I think they did, because the Mavericks losing was beneficial. I mean, to me, part of what I'm looking at right now in terms of the race, and I know we're going to get into Western Conference Wednesday later in the show, but I think some of this is about how many, having as many possible options as you can have going into the last week of the season. So when some of these teams play against each other, for example, when the Clippers play the Suns twice next week, you want to be able to go into that saying that, okay, we can benefit either way, and both of these teams are close to us in the standings, so you want to be able to take advantage and capitalize, I guess, on some of these teams playing each other so much. So, I mean, the Mavericks lose. They're back into a tie with the Pelicans, although Dallas technically is ahead because they have a better division record. So that was helpful. And then the Clippers losing as well. I mean, I would totally understand if there's fans out there who've kind of put the Clippers away and been like, you know, they're too far ahead, there's not that much time left. But now the Clippers are only two games ahead of New Orleans, and the Pelicans have the tiebreaker there. So I do think that Tuesday should make people feel a little bit better, because there were some positive results on the scoreboard after it seems like there's been a stretch where there haven't been many encouraging nights. It seems like, coinciding with the Pelicans' recent stretch of going 1-3, some of these other key teams have won a bunch of games, and it's been more negative, I think, on the scoreboard than positive, but at least Tuesday night there was a little glimmer of help.
It's interesting, in the first four games of this homestand, we're going to talk a little bit more about it with Todd coming up next segment here as well, though. You're seeing a lot of different things that maybe you might see in the postseason, but in particular when it comes to Zion Williamson, how they're defending him and how to make do. Look, I think it's easy in the media or even as a fan and to say, pass the ball or do this or do that. It's another to then implement it as you're going there, because there have been some subtle differences, right? I mean, like Phoenix, we're going to park a big there. Boston, Zion said they pushed the Pels offense further away from the three-point arc where they like to start their offense. OKC, I don't really know if they did anything different defensively there. Pels just didn't score in the last 3 minutes or so. I don't know. When you take a look at what's been happening the last couple of weeks, Zion's been playing well. The stats say that here as well. Are our team saying, hey, others can't beat us, or do others have to come through? Is it the loss of BI? What do you look at the last couple of weeks as to why we're talking about more losses than wins overall?
Yeah, I think teams consistently have been saying throughout the season, but maybe it's ramped up lately, and some of the defenses that the Pelicans have played against have been better, more effective at doing the strategy of saying we're not gonna let Zion beat us. I mean, he's so such a good player that he still is able to get 30 points in some of these games where teams are loading up and doing everything they possibly can to not let him get into the paint, and he still is going to get to the basket because he's just that good and he's that much of a matchup problem. But I do think it does come down to a lot of times the other guys have to make shots, and I mean, that part of it has wavered a little bit lately. But like you said, too, I mean, if you're an opposing team and you go into a game, you know, a few weeks ago and you say, we're going to try to take Zion out, but we have to worry about Brandon Ingram, too, because he's playing. And now you're going into games and saying, we don't have to worry about Brandon Ingram because he's not on the court. I mean, that makes a huge difference in terms of, you know, how effective the Pelicans' offense has been, and mm-hmm. I think, unfortunately, we're seeing some of the ramifications of that. It's just, you know, the offense just has not looked nearly as good lately. And then Willie Green has mentioned this a few times. You factor in that you don't have Ingram and then Jose Alvarado as well, but also you're playing some of the best defenses in the league. And unfortunately, Orlando is second in the league in defense. So, I mean, you could be confronting the same kind of problem in the game Wednesday that you've seen lately, where you're talking about Boston and some of these other teams, Oklahoma City, teams that have been top five, top 10 in defense throughout the season. So you're going to have to figure that out. San Antonio on Friday has been near the bottom of the league in defense, but they've been better lately. And when Wemby is blocking 9 shots in a game, it's a different problem than I think what you faced earlier in the season when you played the Spurs.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Let's see what the voice of the Pelicans has to say about what's going on with the Pels right now and his take on the final 7 games as we bring in Todd Graffanini. Hi, Tom Nellen. Welcome in the voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, Todd Graffanini, Jim Eichenhofer. This is always a pleasure because, well, how should we watch these games, sir? Because there's only 7 left. There's scoreboard watching. But you told me something today that I think hit home. It doesn't matter unless you take care of your own business here as well. I've been asking this on a talk show and here in the first 2 podcasts of this week here as well with Jim in the opening segment. How do we feel through 4 games of the 6-game homestand? What's your overall feeling first?
My overall feeling is that it's difficult for the Pelicans to beat upper echelon teams without Brandon Ingram. That to me has been kind of the underlying theme of all this. Obviously, Jose Alvarado is not playing either. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have Brandon Ingram, sometimes the offense isn't what we have been used to seeing the entire year, especially if Zion has to take a breather. You know, Willie Green had it where when those guys were available, and they've been available most of the year, you could stagger their minutes. If Zion was on the bench, Brandon Ingram would be out there, and vice versa. And now you've got a lot of pressure on Zion Williamson, who's been playing fantastic. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But if you look at some of these, you know, droughts that we've been having in the middle of these games offensively, it's like, man, he needs some help. And here's the other thing. With Brandon Ingram not out there, Trey Murphy is starting. Well, the reason the majority of the year, why the Pelicans' bench has been so spectacular, is because you've had Trey Murphy off the bench, and that's a lot of scoring that you're missing. And of course, when he's hitting threes, that kind of frees everything up for everybody else. And you're also missing Jose Alvarado's energy off the bench. You know, Jose isn't going to quote unquote win games for you by scoring 30 points, but what he does defensively. And just if you need a spark, he has done that this year, and I think the record without him backs that up. So, you know, look, we've said it all year long. This is deep, deep team. The bench has been outstanding. Mm-hmm. It just stinks that we've avoided really the catastrophic type of injury the entire year, and this happened at the wrong time.
Right. It is.
For New Orleans. I mean, it's all about timing.
Yeah.
You go into the last 3 weeks of the regular season, and mm-hmm. you don't have your second-best scorer out there. It's tough.
And not just that, to his point, Jim, and I'll get your take on this here as well. It's something that you keep hearing players and Willie Green say. Brandon Ingram was the team leader in assists.
Right.
So that's a big component to it as well. What's the big takeaway in four games for you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely with Graf. I think one of the things that's interesting that I've looked at, I haven't checked this lately, but I know it's still true that for Jose Alvarado and CJ McCollum, I think among all of the rotation guys on the team, they're the only two who the team has a great record with them, but a losing record without them. It's interesting if you kind of go through the list that they still have a winning record when Brandon Ingram hasn't played this year. I think it's also still the case with a few other guys, including Zion. But I think what strikes me about that fact in terms of CJ and Jose, and obviously you can add Brandon Ingram to this as well, is that there's an element of ball handling and playmaking and even just getting into the offense that I don't know if you can really measure. It's almost like an eye test thing. Like, you, when you see the offense the way it runs without those guys, you can see such a huge difference. And I think it's not just that they need to have – it's every NBA team you could say this for – you need to have more than one guy that can really run the offense and get things going. I mean, for the starting lineup, it definitely is often Brandon Ingram. For this, like you said, Graf, for the second unit, it's Jose. So you take both of those guys out, and you just watch, of the 48 minutes, you just see so few stretches where, compared to what we saw throughout the entire season, where they're getting into the offense and they're getting good shots consistently.
Well, a couple points, too. And when you're talking about having two guys run the offense, think about Oklahoma City. Yeah, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an MVP candidate, but when he's not on the floor, Josh Giddey is just as good as getting them into their offense mm-hmm. and like a point guard.
Sure.
So that's kind of the example that we're having here. You know, and look, you know Brandon's not going to be back at least two last home games of the homestand. Mm-hmm. You know that. They're reevaluating him on Friday, basically the day of the San Antonio game. So whatever it is, it's got to get fixed.
And he was taking jump shots at practice yesterday.
No,
he did, well, again, not jump shots. He wasn't leaving the floor, but he was shooting. So he was,
you know, doing
some stuff.
Radio interview yesterday and said, asking about Brandon. I said, look, the thing about it is that it could have been a whole lot worse. I mean, mm-hmm. when we saw that originally, it was like, oh boy. So the fact that he's out there, mm-hmm. he's moving around, that's a good sign. When he comes back, that's a whole different deal. But the bottom line is this. You know he's not going to be back in these two games. You got to figure it out.
I want to give you all my overall take that I've been saying here as well and have you all kind of give an opinion on it. I know it's not something fans sometimes want to hear or see, much less us that are covering the team and want them to do that. But Jim and I, from the get-go in October when we first started podcasting and all that other stuff, you don't know what kind of team you have until you go through this. And it's hard to understand, but it's the truth. They haven't played in a postseason together. They haven't done this before. This is a different season than a year ago because the West is substantially tougher. At this time last year, Kyrie and Luka weren't clicking like they were now because they had just gotten together. They didn't even make the postseason last year.
They did not.
And they've been a playoff team all year, right? OKC hadn't taken that step with Chet because he wasn't playing. So that's a different team. Minnesota with Anthony Edwards wasn't playing at an MVP level. I can go on and on, right? Jamal Murray, Jokic, you can do all that. It's funny, fans are like, man, it can't be good teams. You're right now above LeBron and AD. You're above Steph. You're above a couple of teams that have really good players. So they're figuring it out in real time. And I think Larry Nance said it at practice yesterday, you know, no one likes to pat themselves on the back more than me.
There it
is. But I said on Monday, I think the one thing you can take from this is you are getting a crash course, real-time drill on how teams are going to defend you in the postseason against the better defending team. So it's one thing to simulate it. It's one thing to put Eichenhofer and AD and Graf on the floor and say, this is how they're going to defend you. It's another to go up against Drew and Porzingis and Brown and Tatum in real time and go up against them and then see the big guy with the sun before you play them again on what they're doing. I think that helps before you get into the postseason. And if anything, while they're losses, you can learn from that. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I do. But how do you correct what's going on? That, I think, is the big question. And it's really, to me, look, Devin Booker, that's a whole nother story. we don't have enough time for this.
We really don't.
But if you look at these games in the homestand, if you look at the point totals for the Pelicans, they're just not where they need to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got 107 points in the win against Milwaukee. Other than that, what, 92 against Boston? Scored 107 in that? No, it was 112 against Oklahoma City because we were up 112-107. So the offense, you know, has had these instances where it's been tough to score.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the Brandon Ingram thing comes in. Because, again, Zion, I mean, look, Zion scored 30 points against the Phoenix Suns. He's getting to the free throw line more than he ever has in his entire career. We were talking about that during the broadcast, JD and I. Maybe now he's starting to get the beneficial whistle with the referees. They're putting him at the line. With no Ingram, though, you can't afford to have other guys have nights off nights, so to speak. Like, I'm not putting, you know, Phoenix game on CJ, but it's going to be tough to beat the Phoenix Suns if CJ McCollum's scoring 15 points.
See, you know, the thing that it makes me wonder when you say that, you know, the scoring numbers are down, and even if you look at...
They really are across the league, I will say.
Sure.
That.
But I think, too, that the shooting percentages are down for the Pelicans. They've had a couple games recently where they shot under 40% from the field, which is a huge outlier compared to what we've seen the whole season. But it makes me wonder, is it now the kind of thing, you know, you're saying, well, okay, so how does this get fixed? Is it going to be, and I think maybe the game Wednesday against Orlando might be the best example of this, is it now just more, even more on your defense, that this has been a good top 10, top 5 defense all season? Is it now even more important that, you know, you're able to win some games 105 to 102 and not just hold opposing teams down to the point where you don't need to have a huge offensive game?
This is a team also in the Pelicans that really relies on points off turnovers. And you think about, again, you go back to the Phoenix game, how clean Phoenix played. Now, they started to slip in the second half, mm-hmm. and that's when the Pelicans made their runs. But, I mean, this is a Phoenix team that turns the ball over with regularity.
Sure.
And they went, what, a quarter and a half without a turnover?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, the Pelicans have played outstanding defense all year long. They've been top 5 in steals literally the entire season. Right now sitting at third, they've been in the 8.2, 8.3 range in steals all year. And when you're not getting those and getting those easy buckets in transition, that really helps the offense, and that's kind of stopped a little bit. That being said, you know, Dyson Daniels returning to the lineup is going to be key on the defensive end, and we saw his impact really against Phoenix. He had a lot of crooked numbers in his line score.
You know, that was the thing that was the most surprising / disappointing to me about the Phoenix game was just that they didn't turn them over enough. I mean, one of the stats I looked at, Phoenix is 24th in the league or 25th in the league in turnovers per game, and every team below them in the turnovers is headed to the draft lottery. So, I mean, that was something that they needed to be able to take advantage of. So, I mean, I think, you know, Orlando is not a good offensive team. They're near the bottom. They didn't look like it in the game
again,
on March 21st.
2 weeks ago, Jim, we're sitting there, JD and I, we're looking at each other, goes, this is a team that doesn't make threes.
Right.
They don't attempt threes. And they did both very well against mm-hmm. the Pelicans a couple weeks ago. I mean, they were way, what, they averaged 11 three-point makes, which is second to last. They only put up 32 a game,
right. Which
is second to last. And they were way over that. I want to say they made 14 or 15.
They did.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
It was 14-6 and made three. So, I mean, to have that much of a disadvantage was a killer. So it does make me wonder if tonight's game, though, is going to be – maybe we're going to see like a 100-97
well,
type
look, Orlando's
game.
Got a good defense.
Right, exactly.
What happened in Orlando. Mm-hmm. Look, you got a little help last night, okay? Dallas came back to you a little bit, now tied with them in the loss column. The Clippers lost last night, but at some point the Pels got to take care of their own business. And look, I mean, we're running out of games, guys. And what happened 2 weeks ago against the Magic, that's got to be in your craw. There were so many defensive miscues in that game, so many backdoor cuts by the Magic that they got wide open layups. Paolo Banchero had a triple-double against the Pelicans, just his second career triple-double. So you've got to have a little... I mean, I don't want to say it because they've been talking about it after practice. You got to have a sense of urgency. I mean, you got to realize that you're running out of games and you can't keep relying on other teams to lose. You've got to win and help yourself. That's how you help yourself.
Well, and the other thing, to y'all's point, you're still two games from the fourth. You still do that. Or if you don't win some games here in the next seven, you may be in the play-in in the lower end of that play-in.
By the way, Golden State and... the Lakers, they're not losing anymore.
No, they're playing very good basketball.
They're creeping up, both of them.
I want to go back and touch on something you said about Zion. I pulled it up here, and it's crazy. Let's go to March 5th was the last time, other than Miami, where he had a point less. He had a game less than 20 points. So March 8th, 23, 27, 33, 34, 26, 28, 24 points against the Heat. And then, as you said, recently he's been crushing it. 36, 29, 28, 25. And then you said free throws. In those last four games, 14 attempts, 10 attempts, 16 attempts, 14 attempts against Boston. And also, Todd, you've been bringing this up too. Minutes. Boston 40, Milwaukee 33, OKC 39, Detroit 36, and a bunch of 30s. Orlando, he had, 29, but Brooklyn 33, Portland 34, 35, 35, 36. Point being, since the beginning of March, it is absolutely taking off at a whole different level here. And he's been, that's why you're seeing teams literally game plan against him. But he is something right now, isn't he?
No, he's playing his best basketball. And he's looked good doing it. He is doing it on both ends of the floor. I mean, you think about the attempted charge that he took against Giannis. He said after the game he'd never taken a charge probably since high school. Mm-hmm. So he wants to do it on both ends of the floor. I think the rebounding totals need to get a little bit better. But other than that, I mean, look. And you've had to have him without Ingram. I mean, he's got to be at this level every single night for the Pels to have a chance to win.
You know, Graf, you've accurately pointed out a couple times that really the thing that matters the most is the Pelicans winning and taking care of their business. And if they don't do that, I mean, some of the stuff that on the scoreboard and the rest of the West is going to be less relevant to us. But with that said, I think the players and the coaches need to focus on the games, but we don't their own games, but we don't necessarily have to do that. So I guess I wanted to ask you last thing. What is your priority list right now in terms of the race is so tight? Like, what are you focusing on the most when you watch the scores and you watch some of these other games? I mean, there's a handful of teams I think you could point to.
Jim, it's crazy because remember last week Dallas and Sacramento had that baseball series in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking the entire time, all right, well, what do we want? Do you want them to split? Do you want somebody to win both? And I'm thinking, well, I want Sacramento to win because we've got the tie break on Sacramento.
Right.
So the higher up Sacramento gets, the better chance that we would have if, again, you've got to keep winning too, that if you tie them, you're going to move ahead of
right.
them. And I don't want any, you know, I don't want any part of Dallas because they were just playing so, so well.
Sure.
And then after Dallas, you know, they had the double-digit comeback in the second game and they wound up winning both games. And then the next day, I'm looking at the standings. I'm like, well, that actually helped us because now Sacramento was two games back in the loss column at the time. They're now one game back. I'm telling you, it wavers every single night. And I was thinking last night, do I want Dallas to win? Because, again, if they're going to keep winning, well, then just let them keep winning.
Right.
And then you can back Golden State up.
Mm-hmm.
But Golden State had other ideas. They beat Dallas last night and stopped their seven-game winning streak. So Golden State, I think they won five in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas, though, has dropped back tied in the loss column with the Pelicans. So, look, it's all about who's playing who. I know this weekend's going to be some very key games, but Pelicans have got to get it done these last two games at home. The home record is just it's baffling to me. And that's why I don't think if we have to go on the road, if we're fifth or sixth, I don't have a problem with that because the Pels have played really, really well on the road this year.
Yeah, it is crazy. I don't know if you guys can put some flowers in the background or something so the home shooting can change. It's crazy to me from that aspect of it. But, you know, to y'all's point, I know Jim's on Friday likes to do the weekend showdown. It's going to be 15 minutes because these games are incredible. I was watching that Golden State-Dallas game yesterday. And they put up all the different, you know, games that Dallas or Phoenix has to be. They got to play the Clippers twice. Yeah. So, I mean, and to your point, you just get your wins. But by the way, did you guys see the Denver-San Antonio game and Wemby and how he's playing right now with Jokic? He blocked Jokic four times.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that game
he
Friday.
He almost had a quadruple double.
No, that game Friday is a joke, too. If you're a fan, it's fun. At the same time, it's stomach-churning from the Pel standpoint.
I love
but
my
goodness,
job,
man.
But I say this, you know.
In jest, yes.
It's so gut-wrenching. I mean, every night. I mean, I'm having fun, but it's a lot more fun when you're winning these games.
Yeah, no doubt.
Obviously. So, look, just we got to take – I don't want to go cliche here. But
you do.
This is –
You legit have to.
You know
to
what
take
you got to do tonight? Yeah. Win the first quarter.
Okay,
go from there.
Give me one thing I'm going to be paying attention to, something that Jim hopefully will write about. It's the start.
How we start
the game.
And, you know, the crazy thing is we started great against the Celtics, and then it just kind of waned the rest of the ball game, and the 11-point third quarter did us in.
It's the final 50 seconds of that second quarter.
Right, 8-1 run for the Celtics. You know, you came in the studio the other day, and they were showing the replay of it. We had a 5-point lead with a minute left in the second quarter. I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell do we lose this lead? So, you know, but it starts with the first quarter. You've got to come out tonight and just take it to Orlando. Mm-hmm. They're good. They are good. They're fighting for fifth, fourth with the Knicks right now. So they got something to play for. But they're not as good as a road team as they are home. And, oh, by the way, here's the real underlying story tonight. The Pelicans have not beaten the Orlando Magic in the Smoothie King Center since 2017.
What?
6 years.
Ouch.
6 seasons. Mm. The Magic has come in here and won. And a lot of those seasons, they ain't been that good.
No.
So I don't know what in the world it is, but that's got to stop tonight.
I was relieved when they traded Nikola Vucevic because
and Aaron Gordon too.
If you just watch the film of Vucevic's games in the Smoothie King Center, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So glad that he's. But it's funny though. It's funny because he goes to Chicago and now Chicago wins in the Smoothie King Center.
Exactly.
So.
Is that a new phrase for you?
Wendell Carter Jr. Another.
You like to say Pelican Killer. I've never gotten
Wendell Carter
Pelican
Jr.
Hall of Famer.
Well, Wendell Carter Jr. when he played for the Bulls, it's like. This guy is a double-double every night. And you look at his totals, and he has double-doubles, but not as many as you would think. Well, Wendell Carter Jr. plays for the Orlando Magic now. So you'll see it. Look, Pel's got to get it done. They got to get it done.
There it is. Todd Graffinini, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, off to shoot around. We will see you later tonight, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, gents.
All right, our thanks to Todd Graffinini for joining us there as he is off to shoot around Jamaican offer, which means I got to wrap up with you so you can get to shoot around here as well. It is Wednesday, which means it is Western Conference Wednesday, but you know what? You're going to get wild and wacky with it, aren't you?
Yes, I am, Gus. I mean, there's no way to just go with one team to watch for Western Conference Wednesday this time, so I picked multiple ones. I feel like maybe I'm not alone in this, but I think the priority in terms of which team to look at the most right now for the Pelicans is Phoenix. They're technically in eighth place, but I think because the Pelicans still have to play them again and the fact that Phoenix now has clinched the tiebreaker, they're slightly more of a concern than Sacramento. The Kings also have a couple guys now out for at least the rest of the regular season and beyond in the case of Kevin Huerter. But Malik Monk is also out for multiple weeks with the injury that he has. So teams to watch. Phoenix is 44-31. They're one game behind the Pelicans right now. Their next four games are actually all at home, but it's very tough competition. They have the Cavs tonight, Wednesday. They're hosting the Timberwolves Friday. Obviously, Sunday they have the huge game against the Pelicans. And then Tuesday they host the Clippers. And that's actually the first game of a back-to-back for between those two teams, where on Tuesday they play the Clippers in Phoenix, and then Wednesday they play the Clippers in L.A. So I'm really curious to see what's going to happen over the next few days. I think one thing to think about, the Pelicans, if they can win these next couple games at home, Wednesday, Friday, and then Phoenix hopefully loses at least one of their next two between playing the Cavs and the Timberwolves, if you can go into the game Sunday with more than a one-game lead, I think there's a little bit, there's still going to be a ton of pressure on the Pelicans in that game, but I think there's a little bit, maybe slightly less if you know that you have at least a little cushion there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously, if you go into that game tied or even one game ahead, you lose that game and all of a sudden you're behind Phoenix. So yeah, that's something to watch over the next few days. Can the Cavs and Timberwolves come up with a road win in Phoenix that will help the Pelicans? The second team to watch is the Mavericks. They're 45-30, which is exactly the same record as the Pelicans. Mavericks have the tiebreaker based on division record. They're 10-5 in the division with one game left. The Pelicans are 9-6 in the division with one game left. If you look at the Mavericks' schedule, they're also home for the majority of this next stretch. They have a home game Thursday against Atlanta, which the Hawks have been a little pesky lately with a couple wins against the Celtics. Then Friday, the Mavericks are hosting Golden State. That's going to be such an interesting game because of how much is at stake for both teams.
Yeah.
Then Sunday, the Mavericks are hosting Houston, and that's the game that is crucial from the tiebreaker standpoint, because if Dallas wins that game against the division team Houston, you've
been bringing this up, the division records,
right? The Mavericks will be they'll finish 11-5 in the division if they win that game, and that will clinch the tiebreaker for Dallas over New Orleans. So that's going to be a huge game. I mean,
that's why that Friday game against the Spurs is so big for the Pels. You got to get that division win.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I mean, if the Pelicans lose to the Spurs on Friday or the Mavericks beat the Rockets on Sunday, unfortunately, that'll be the end of the tiebreaker situation.
Diesel.
So, I mean, and then to round out the week, after the Mavericks have home games against Hawks, Warriors, Rockets, they're at Charlotte on Tuesday, obviously a team that's out of contention. And then Wednesday, they're at Miami. So, interesting slate of teams. Obviously, Phoenix's upcoming schedule is a lot more difficult than Dallas, and I think that's one reason why a lot of people have started to lean towards predicting that Dallas is going to end up finishing somewhere in the top six. But I'll be curious to see what happens, and I mean every single day pretty much, other than Monday, because there's no games in the NBA because of the NCAA National Championship.
Wow.
Other than that, I think every day from now on the rest of the season, you're going to be looking at the scoreboard and you're going to be pacing and Graf is going to be nervous and we're going to be texting each other back and forth and alternating between furious and happy.
Jim, there's only one more full week left of the regular season.
That's right.
It's next week. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, we're at the midway point of this week. You got Friday, Sunday, and then Tuesday of next week, Thursday, Friday of next week, that back-to-back, and then you close out against your favorite team. I heard you're going to take LeBron to dinner. Talk about where Bronny's transferring. He's in transfer portal now.
I don't know if I can afford
Tulane, LSU. Would you like Bronny down there? You know, be interesting to see how that happens. No, but it's crazy because it is. I mean, it's here.
11 days from now is that Lakers
and
game. That's it.
It's nuts to think that all the season that you've put all this work into, it comes literally down to every game and it matters. And I know in the NFL, and obviously we're in a building that houses the Saints as well, everyone talks about how important those 16 games are. There's so many. And a lot of times, or not as many, a lot of times maybe fans go, there's 82 games. It's a lot of season left. And you'll hear players and coaches say early in October, November, we're good. We got time. It is crazy how every game does matter. Even in an 82-game season, you go back to the 12 to 13 games the Pels have not come through in the clutch moments. You go back to some of those games where you go, how did you not win that game? Or let, you know, one slip away on the road or even at home. And what would you not do right now for one to two more wins?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, right? I mean, because we talked about it, it's 12 to 13 clutch games that you've lost, right, late in the game, win half. What would six more wins do to the Pels right now? You're in fourth.
Yeah.
You're comfortably in fourth. You might be in third.
You'd be in contention for the number one seed if you had six more wins than you.
That's the point that, you know, it is. And I think that's one thing you've heard Willie Green kind of become a little more animated in the last two games and saying, we've got to get that and understand that. You know, I brought it up with Todd. The final 52 seconds of the second quarter, it seems so insignificant in a four-quarter game, but that team is a championship-contending team, and they realize closing that out gave them the lead when they trailed the entire first half.
From a mental standpoint, that was big.
100%. And you're going to the locker room going, what just happened?
Right.
Meanwhile, in their locker room, we got them. And that is the biggest difference, because guess what happened in the third quarter? You scored 11 points. They took control of the game. You may not have looked at it, but you close out, and it goes back to they missed two free throws right before that stretch when they had a five-point lead.
Sure.
That could have made it a seven-point lead. They missed a layup. And it's those little things that, Jim, young teams have to learn and understand. I can tell you, Jim, this podcast right now, this very second, this segment means everything to it. Until you go back and see, wow, those 52 seconds actually did mean something. Sure. You know, how you started out in the first quarter against the game did mean something. We thought it was a big game against Devin Booker, but apparently he thought it was bigger. I mean, just you have to understand that. And that's why I go back to what I said with him, with Todd. There's only one way to learn this, unfortunately, and that's going through it.
Yeah, you know, I think this is one of the, to take a further kind of step back, broader view, I think this is one of the reasons why I feel like sometimes there's a disconnect between, across the NBA, between what teams say and what they actually do. If you go back to earlier in the season, across the league, you see teams that don't treat every single game like it's important, because you have games where you have guys sitting and you have games that are not prioritized as much. But I mean, I always go back to last season. If the Pelicans had one more game, they would have been the 8th seed instead of the 9th seed. That might be the difference between you making the playoffs or not.
100%.
And you making the playoffs or not is the difference between whether the season was successful or not.
Yeah.
I mean, last season was not successful. They got knocked out as a 9 seed in the first part of the play-in tournament. They didn't even get the opportunity to go to the playoffs and have a best of 7, where who knows what you could have done even as an 8 seed. Maybe you get in. Maybe you don't win the series, but maybe you give the 1 seed a tough 6 or 7 games, and the outlook in the summer is totally different. So I think it is amazing, especially, and I mean, we should know this by now following the Western Conference. We should know that how often one game does make a difference in your seeding. And with the way the play-in tournament is set up now, I think it should be so beyond obvious that, you know, it's, people say this all season, but it's like, does it really resonate when you say every game matters? Do people really take that seriously? Because I feel like in general that people don't.
Right.
It's like, yeah, sure, Jim. Yeah, one game matters. Yeah, I'm sure one game is going to make a difference.
Did he walk up to you while you're in the grocery line?
right.
Excuse me, you're Jim Eichenhofer? Yeah. I mean,
one game. It's 82 game season. What's the big deal?
To your point, though, you look at Golden State, they're only 11.5 back. And I say only, they're in the 10th spot. If I scroll to the Eastern Conference, do you know second place Milwaukee is 12 games back?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want you to think about what I just said.
Yeah. The difference between one and second is the same as one and ten.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep saying that on the show, and I keep saying that to people because, again, I think it's easy for people to be like, oh, the Pels just can't beat good. Oh, the Pels aren't any good. I'm like, do you understand how difficult the West is?
Right.
Like, I mean, because all of those teams, Jim, again, we're watching the game last night. You know, Dallas and Golden State, we're watching the Lakers play tomorrow. Like, these are household, shoe-selling, Hall of Fame names that are battling for 9 and 10.
Right.
Yeah. And to my knowledge, they haven't had catastrophic injuries.
Right. I mean, they've been healthy.
Like, right. For Steph the most hasn't part. Missed 2 months. It wasn't like last year where LeBron missed 2 months and AD missed 3 months. This would have been one of Anthony Davis's actually healthiest seasons this year. Mm-hmm. So it's just that other teams in the West have won games. OKC took that step. Minnesota's taken a bit of a step. Denver's had to battle to get back to first, and they're only in first over 2 teams by a half game.
Right.
I mean, they're 53, 52, 52 wins in the top 3. It's incredible when you look at it compared to the East, where the only team that has 50 plus wins is Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So it just gives you an idea, man, of where the West is.
For sure. You know, by the way, quickly to NBA.com, John Schumann writes his power rankings column every Monday. He had a really interesting stat where he talked about the records among the top 10 teams in the NBA against each other, which the Pelicans are just in the top 10 record-wise. They're exactly 500 in games against the top 10 teams. So saying that they don't beat the elite teams, they don't beat the best teams in the league, is not really accurate. If anything, if you took a group of 10 teams and you say the Pelicans have the 9th best record or 10th best record maybe overall among that group over the course of the whole season, you would expect that they would actually be below 500 because obviously almost every team in that group has a better record over the course of the season than they do. So they've been – is it accurate to say that they never beat the best teams? No. Is it accurate to say that they've been good against the best teams? I would say no. I mean, they've been exactly average. They're 500 in those games. So, I mean, they've had stretches where they've been able to beat the top teams. They've beaten Minnesota twice. They're actually 2-0 against the Timberwolves when Zion plays. They beat the Thunder in OKC once. They beat Denver once. They're 3-1 against the Clippers. I mean, I don't know if you want to how far do you want to go down the list? But I mean, obviously, they're 4-0 against Sacramento as well. So if you expand that group out to a bigger group, I mean, their record has been pretty good. It's not amazing, but they've been competitive against the best teams. But I mean, they're in 6th place in the West. To me, they have about the record that you would expect from a team that is in 5th or 6th in a conference against the best teams in the league. If they were 2nd, 3rd the way Minnesota and Oklahoma City are, then you would think part of the reason they do is because they have more wins against the top teams. That's what separates you sometimes.
All right, you know what? I'm going to be Gustradamus. We're going to talk about a win on Friday.
All right. I like that. I like your confidence.
We're going to talk about a win on Friday.
I hope you're right, Gus.
If not, you will host the podcast by yourself. That is Jim Eichenhofer, Jim_Eichenhofer is the way to give a follow over on X, formerly known as Twitter, and of course, NewOrleansPelicans.com.
We really need a Pelicans win now if I'm going to be hosting because that won't
by
be pretty.
Yourself. So, well, we do have the radio.
The round table, yes. We're going to have that. So we'll have some company regardless.
Trending numbers, weekend showdown, all of that's coming up on Friday. But let's get to the arena here in a little bit and get a W, huh?
Sounds like a plan to me. Let's do
Sounds
that.
Sounds good. Thank you as always for tuning us in. We will see you on Friday once again right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Join us 3 times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, or where you get your podcasts. And be sure to give Jim and Gus a follow on X at Jim_Eichenhofer and GCAT_17. We'll see you next time, right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.